7:09, and this is our 99th year of broadcasting. Whoa! Let me explain who's in the studio, first of all. We have Tom Carco here. He is our, we gave him our resident historian. He was a news director here for like 300 years, and so he's here today. Jan Hoff is here. She was in our news department as well for many years. We have Deb Thogerson here. She ran Party Line for a number of years. And we have the little kid who mowed the lawn at our 92.1 location on Taylor Avenue. Mowed the lawn. There's this little kid. We found him. We searched the internet. And he was right down the hall the whole time. Chris Morrow, who's the president of the Southern Region of Civic Media and also our general manager here at WRJN. This is your second go-around as general manager, by the way.
Yeah, I did this about, 12, 15 years ago?
Couldn't get it right the first time.
Couldn't get it right. They let me take 15 years to figure it out. And when I convinced them I did, I was back.
So. Well, Tom's got a whole bunch of historic actualities for us to listen to this morning. And these are people that, they're historic. They've been here for many, many years. We've had this. And why don't you explain who we're going to listen to first here? You want to do that first?
Okay. Well, first of all, we're going to start out with the fact that this place here on Victory Avenue came about in 1956-57. Otherwise, the studios had been downtown in three locations, starting out in the Arcade Building, then Hotel Racine, and then atop the American Bank Building, the one that John Dillinger and his gang robbed. Okay, in the late 50s, then it came out here. A whole new complex was built. This had been the site of the Transmitter Building. With all the transmitting equipment, the engineers stayed here, lived here, slept here, did all kinds of things, cooked meals. And then eventually, when Hans Geyer, the architect, designed this new complex, they incorporated the very far east end of that transmitter site, the shack. That is part of this building. And so it's been here since 57. That's when it opened up. So you got a tower. There was a single tower, single pole tower. Eventually, it came down in a storm. And then later on, they built the current tower that is up here. Well, apparently, it wasn't as straight as it should have been. And this is engineer Bernie Fox talking about the Victory Avenue Tower initially not being straight.
You drive down Lathrop Avenue, and you could see that tower was tilted towards the south, 357 feet high, you know. They got the crew back there, and they shimmed the base, plumbed that tower.
So then we've got...
By the way, concrete blocks are still there.
Yes, they are. Those are like 14 feet in the ground.
We have a picnic table set up on it now, so...
solid.
Oh, now? Now you've got them. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so let's go next to the Danish program. It was Peter Bach. He was the Danish program. Staple on RJN from 1928 until 1970 when he retired. Now, he played his own records, brought all his records in, played them. Peter Bach was also, and I came across this audio, not necessarily from the station, but from another recording. Peter Bach, instrumental in the Prince of Denmark coming to Racine in 1939. And Peter Bach used his influence with newspaper publisher Frank Starbuck.
The Danish societies, both Brotherhood and Dania, as well as the Danish churches, had decided not to invite them. So I, being a man that represent all the Danes, I didn't like it. So I went down to Mr. Starbuck and said to Starbuck, over in Denmark, the editor of the newspaper, he's the man that makes things go around. He's the man that starts everything great. So Mr. Starbuck says to me, well, Peter, what do you want me to do? Well, invite them. Send it to the Danes. Representative in Washington. I'll do that. And he telephoned the telegraph office, sent it, and inside 2 hours there was a reply from the minister from Denmark. We'll be very happy to come here.
Now, Chris, you said you remember that show?
I do. I was very, very young, of course, in the 70s. But I remember hearing it on the weekends. Yeah.
Wow, we have a picture of you back then with a huge head of curly hair.
Wow. Yeah, isn't that hilarious? Yeah, I don't know where that went, but...
Well, you know, all the kids in school made fun of my curly hair growing up.
Uh-huh.
They're not laughing now.
No, you've got your hair left, yeah.
And it's still curly.
I think it was that bad perm that caused it to leave me at the age of 21. Yeah.
What do you got next, Tom?
This is the only available piece of audio that I have on an announcer from the 40s and 50s. His name was Bob Monkman. And this is from he narrated the 1952 Racine Goodwill Parade.
This is Racine, Racine County, state of Wisconsin, USA. A typical Midwestern city, population about 75,000.
That's Bob Monkman, who later got into television and had a very successful career, changed his name to Bob March, and he had a program in the San Francisco area, Captain Satellite. Very successful out there. He passed away just a few years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, let's move to during the 70th anniversary broadcast from Memorial Hall in 1996, former announcers Dan Ronan, Dick Scott, and Bob Cook talked about working with Frenchie Bouton and news director Don Edmark.
Frenchie's favorite thing was he'd always have one of his own records queued up and ready to go, and he'd say, "And now, ladies and gentlemen, on WRJN, here's my mom's favorite singer." And he'd let the thing go. And
don't you remember when Edmark used to sing?
Well, yeah, he used to sing when he was off the air, but...
No, he played them on the air a couple of times.
Did he really?
He really.
Well, there was a card to
the chagrin of Bill Gumm,
there was a card in the newsroom, and it said, it just had a label on it. It wasn't labeled like a news card, and it was Don Edmark with Nelson Riddle in the orchestra. "Hey, I've got you under my skin," and he was doing...
I had the craziest dream.
This is Tony Gazzana, former owner of WRJN Radio. Well, I'm pretty excited for WRJN entering 99 years. I want to make it perfectly clear that I was not there back at the beginning. However, I was fortunate enough to be a part of the WRJN family over that length of time. You know, while I was lucky enough to be involved in an owner of the radio station, the truth is I never thought of it like that. I thought of it more as being lucky to be a part of the community, all of the listeners, all of the people that were on the staff. It was a great time in my life, and for all of the listeners, you're pretty fortunate to have a radio station that is concerned about you and the community. So congratulations, and I'm looking forward to the next 99 years. If I'm lucky, I might be there towards the end of that. Ciao.
Celebrating 99 years on the air in the studio, Deb Thogerson is here. We've got Chris Morrow. We've got Tom Carco and Janet Hoff all here. We're playing some cuts from the past that I don't even remember because I wasn't even born.
You don't remember yesterday.
Yeah, I wasn't born when these were on, so I'm a young guy. All right, so let's continue. Jan, what do you have for us?
Okay, well, now we'll go to Jim Bradley, who hosted the American Motor Show mornings and afternoons on WRJN from August 1977 until the end of 1984, and then became the station's morning show host the following year.
I'm Jim Bradley. This is the American Motor Show. Start of the weekday, Monday, January 30th. We wind down this first month of 1984. 29 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock. Jim Bradley, we've got to step aside with the American Motor Show. Thank you very much for tuning in.
Jim Bradley, legendary. He's out in California. Had a very successful business career out in California. He's retired now.
Well, he wasn't going to make his money in radio, that's for sure. So I'm glad he had a good business career.
So let's talk Frenchie Bouton, legendary announcer, local entertainer in this area. This is a 1986 clip, along with staffer Ruth Ann Chase, and they're talking about Thanksgiving, what you're thankful for, and also mentioned of the jail and bail fundraising effort to fight cancer.
On this day before Thanksgiving, we certainly should get some phone calls today, at least I hope so.
Well, yeah, let me put you on the spot, Frenchie. What are you thankful for?
Right off the bat, the first thing I'm thinking about is WRJN's co-sponsorship of the jail and bail last week for the American Cancer Society. The people that participated raised in excess of $56,000, which is just unbelievable. So we were just thrilled that we could match last year and possibly sometime go even higher than that. So,
you know, the three-year total has been very impressive.
Oh, about $150,000 for the 3 years.
Frenchie Bouton. So let's go to October of 1987. WRJN is at night running the Tom Snyder radio program.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's on the network, yeah. Okay? So at the time, announcer turned board operator Maria Bell speaks to Tom Snyder about helping Snyder's mother to be able to hear him in Milwaukee.
You can turn it off, just don't move the dial.
I got you.
That is the secret. I told your mom last night. She told me she'd do it, and I think she did it, Tom. I'm sure she heard this show, and she hears you now.
When I get home tonight, Maria, I'm going to hear. Now tell what I did to your schedule.
Tom.
Yes, Maria.
I'm a displaced worker now because of the great Tom Snyder. I have now turned into a babysitter, a button pusher. After 6 years of having this time to play all the greatest music, I now sit here and listen to Tom Snyder all evening long.
Oh, Maria, what can I do?
Well, Tom, I thought of something.
Okay.
We can just get any old robot to do what I do, and I'll come out there and work with you.
Listen, you're a very good sport to do this for me, and I really appreciate your kindness to my mom on the telephone. And
I am really glad that I was nice to her. She didn't tell me she was your mom.
Yeah, I think she wanted the power to be upped. I think that's what
Tom Snyder said, yeah, the mother wanted the power. Turn the power up, because she's in Milwaukee, can't hear the station, because we're in Racine at the time, and there's no FM translators.
Well, there is now, yeah.
Don't push the power.
Yeah.
So that was part of that discussion. The WRJN News Department, we kind of have a familiarity with that. Mm-hmm. It was started by Don Edmark in 1969, then led after that by Gary Sewer, and then me, and now it's Stuart J. Waddles who's in charge. But there is so many other talented reporters that we had. This particular clip is Steve Groh. He was here from 1989 till 1992. This is his final day with announcer Bob Cook.
That's AM 14 News. I'm Steve Groh.
And Steve, we just want to say goodbye and good luck. We know this is your last day on WRGN.
Bob, you know, it's so hard to believe that it's been 3 years and 2 weeks to the date that I started here at WRJN, and to believe it's all over is just incredible. And the greatest people I ever worked with, my friends for life, and I love you guys, and I'll miss you dearly.
In late 1989, Party Line host Debbie Thorgerson had the chance to talk in studio with two of the Munchkins from The Wizard of Oz.
That, of course, is a clip from The Wizard of Oz as Dorothy leaves Munchkin Land. Now, that stirred up some memories for you. You can imagine how much more that means for a very special guest today. We have Margaret Pellegrini with us and Fern Formica, two of the original players of the Munchkins from that fabulous 1939 classic, The Wizard of Oz. And also Pat Boulder for St. Luke's Hospital, who, of course, is responsible for coordinating their visit in conjunction with the Christmas House. Big welcome to you. Thank you so very much. It's an honor to have you here. It really is.
Thank you for having us.
And Pat, welcome back again to you, too. Is The Wizard of Oz one of your favorite topics?
Oh, naturally. I've learned more about The Wizard of Oz this year than I ever knew before.
Oh, really? Since it's the 50th anniversary, I suppose it's just a really big time of your life right now again.
Yes, it really is.
Wow, sounds like they're all on helium.
And we'd like to extend.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah, Dr. Debbie.
So that's historic to have the Munchkins in here. Yeah. As a matter of fact, you took a picture with that sign that's right over here.
Right. Yeah. I remember that very well.
Yeah. So those were they the only living Munchkins at that time?
There may have been a few others, but those were the two that they hired through the hospital to come and be at the Christmas house that year.
I hate to call them the Munchkins because they actually are, you know, human beings. And we call them the Munchkins.
Right.
It's like those little donuts they sell at Dunkin' Donuts, the Munchkins. Well, especially with the movie out now, Wicked for Good. I mean, the whole talk about Munchkins again is big. Mm-hmm. And you interviewed, that's pretty historic.
I know.
Because I don't think any are left now.
No, I think you're right. I think they're all deceased.
There was one, Jerry Marin, I think was his name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was on like the Odd Couple TV series. He was on a few of them. But
I think he was the final Munchkin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's historic, Deb.
Mm-hmm.
You
it
got
is.
To interview with him.
And yeah, it was precious.
It was right in that studio behind you, I think.
I sure do remember that, yes.
Yeah. Hi, this is Skip Bliss. I am the former president and CEO of the Gazette Printing Company, and we were proud owners at one point of a number of radio stations and newspapers around the state of Wisconsin, including WRJN. And I'm here to wish WRJN a happy 99th year. This is their anniversary and a wonderful group of people and a great broadcast station.
And we're doing our 99th anniversary show today. 99 years on the air. Whoa. In the studio is Deb Thokerson, former host of Party Line for centuries, decades, whatever it is.
12 years.
And I forgot, you were originally hired as a receptionist, a secretary, the radio station, and then Party Line, you were brought in to host Party Line.
Actually, I was hired to write copy.
Copywriter.
Oh, copy, mm-hmm. Okay.
That's why I was hired.
And then they figured, well, she sounds good. So you were what number host of Party Line?
Oh, let's see. Well, Helen Thomas, and then there, let's see, probably about the fifth.
Fifth? I'm getting sixth over here.
I believe it's sixth.
Sixth, okay.
Sixth host of Party Line.
You followed
Kathy Larson.
You followed Kathy Larson, mm-hmm. And there's been a number of hosts of Party Line. Helen Thomas started Party Line in 57. Mm-hmm. Sandy St. John, K-Bus, mm-hmm. Sue Paulson. Then it was Kathy. Then it's you. And then we tried to keep it going after that. That means you.
Carolyn Peacock.
Too. Carolyn Peacock. Yeah. And it just didn't work out. And then the times changed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Google came around and kind of put Party Line out of business.
Yeah. Speaking of Sue Paulson, I just want to mention this. We want to give best wishes to Sue Paulson, the fourth host of Party Line. She was 1972 to 1974. So shout out to Sue Paulson. Best wishes to her.
And Chris, what number general manager were you?
I would.
72?
40? 40 or 50?
Yeah, but you're one of these people that has two numbers because you came back.
True. Well, I worked for Bill Gumm as a 16-year-old kid here. And Bill Gumm had been here for many years.
Right. Bill Gumm came here in the early 50s. He succeeded Harold Newcomb as general manager because Newcomb passed away in 1969. In fact, Bill Gumm asked about it. It was Century Insurance that owned the station.
Right,
and
right.
He pitched himself for the job. He told me that.
Okay. And yeah, he was here in 75-ish when I was a kid working here. And stayed for many years.
He stayed until 1986. In fact, he retired the same date that he had been hired here.
All right. And then I came back in 2008, maybe 2009, and spent 4 or 5 years. And then back again 2 years ago.
Wow. So, during the next break, we're going to add up all the years amongst the five of us.
Oh, good.
We'll work here. We'll probably exceed the 100.
Oh, you're going to. I know you're going to exceed 100. I can do that off the top of my head. We're going to find out the exact. Jan, what do we have next here on the list?
Okay, this is a 1996 clip with Ralph Schoenleben, the host of the Sunday evening concert program for about 50 years. And he mentions a special visitor after one of his shows.
Okay, let me the fine DJ that I am. Okay, there we go. Okay, this is Ralph. Here we go.
One Sunday night, I was leaving, and there was a policeman at the door, and I said, "What in the world was the matter?" And he said, "Nothing. I enjoyed your program. Just thought I'd escort you safely to your car and tell you how much I enjoy the programs."
I loved working with Ralph. I really did. He was such a nice guy, friendly guy, and I got to do one of the eulogies at his funeral, and it was great talking about him because he had such a great life.
Well, and I worked Sunday afternoons as a kid when Ralph would come in at, 7 or 8 o'clock at night to do a show. And he was probably 95 then. I don't know, because he was older than me, obviously. And I used to put on long records to go out and help him carry in his stack of classical music records. And he would sit here an hour before he went on and just, it wasn't a lecture. He would educate this kid on the classical music he was going to play that night. And on my way home, I would listen. And actually, that's where I started to appreciate. Yeah. I mean, he was an educator, not just a guy who played it. And I wouldn't say I became a connoisseur of classical music, but to this day, I will hear things on classical channels and remember Ralph teaching me about it before he went on the air. It was that big of an impact.
Yeah.
In October 1999, then morning show host Kurt Vollmann got a rare opportunity to work with a special guest.
Co-hosting the program with me this morning is my dad. Hey, Dad.
Yes.
So what do I call you? See, you're like, I'm like your superior this morning, and that's an unusual situation for me to be in. So do I call you Dad, or do I call you Fred? What do I call you?
Whatever you want to.
Just don't call you late for donuts.
Yes, they're right.
Kurt Vollmann. I worked with him for a number of years. We had a lot of interesting mornings.
He still works here. He's our afternoon announcer.
And I listened to him then.
I just had lunch with him the other day. Every month we do one lunch. Every month, no matter what.
Who pays?
We split it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Let's go to 2001. Announcer Bill Lawrence and promotions director Lou Turner are talking about a contest prize package, which includes an inside tour of then Miller Park, home of the Milwaukee Brewers.
I haven't had a professional tour of Miller Park. I mean, I've gone there like 3 or 4 times this year and seen it for myself. Mm-hmm. But the professional tour, that's what you want to see because you get to go in the clubhouse and the dugouts and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, now it is going to be a game day, so you may not be able to actually go in the locker rooms and stuff.
Well, they'll take you around. They'll show you the good stuff.
They'll be changing in that in there. They like to keep that private.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Jenkins. Oh, Mr. Burnett.
And I don't think you actually ride the roof or anything like that spectacular.
Now, that would be fun.
Now, historically, the very first broadcast ever done from Miller Park was Kurt Bowman. Before the stadium opened, we went down there. I went with him to, scope it out. And we were given a complete tour. Even the locker rooms weren't finished totally yet. But we set up the broadcast. He sat in the special, media area. And he did the whole morning show from there. So the very first broadcast from Miller Park, a.k.a. AmFam Field, was done by Kurt Bowman on WRJN.
Yep.
There we go. I think Laurel Preeb gave us the tour.
Probably, yes. Yeah. That would be that time. Okay, so staffers at the station occasionally did other jobs in time of need. If somebody couldn't do something, say, oh, yeah, I can do it. Okay, so sales manager Leo Edelstein volunteered to broadcast a high school football game in place of John Weiser. John Weiser had another commitment. Family commitment. But Leo Edelstein didn't forget his bread and butter.
We'd like to thank our great WRGN sports boosters. We could not do it without them. And if you're a run a business and would like to become a sports sponsor on WRGN, just give us a call next week at the radio station. Don Rosen, thanks very much for helping out here at the ballpark, and to Bill Lawrence back at the radio station for spinning the dials. And our final thanks to our loyal WRGN listeners for tuning in to high school sports all year long on your exclusive high school sports station, WRGN. Once again, the final score tonight from Union Grove, it's Union Grove 28 and St. Catharines 13. This is Leo Edelstein subbing for John Weiser, thanking you for tuning in. Good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
By the way, I don't remember helping anybody at this building ever.
You helped a lot of people.
I don't think so. I think that was a mistake. Union Grove, I don't think so.
Yeah, as I've said in the past, you helped raise the profile of this place exponentially over the years, and you deserve a lot of credit for that. So let's do, Jan, you want to do this? No.
This one?
That one.
That one. Okay.
Well rehearsed.
May 12th of 2023 was the final WRGN morning show for Mike Clemens, who was joined by news director Stuart J. Bottles.
Today's my last day doing this show. I'm still going to be with WRGN. Been doing it for the last 8 years. Greatly appreciate the feedback we've had from you folks, the listeners and everything. Hang in there. We got more good stuff coming up for you. Along with Stuart J. Bottles from the WRJ News Center. How are you, sir?
Hey, morning, Mike. How you doing, bud?
One of my favorite moments was pulling the van up to the generator and then jump-starting the generator from the van because there was a problem.
Oh,
gotta get the radio station back on the air.
Get the station back on.
Drive the van into the lot.
I appreciate all the good work you've done.
And oh, thank you.
So I continue to work here, right?
Yeah.
That's what the memo said.
Yeah, right.
Let me check this. Okay, yeah. Okay. I will be covering sports.
And he still works here. What do you know about that? He does a great job covering all our sports, travels all over the country doing it, by the way.
Yeah, he does a great job.
He does a very good job. He does our sports reports, and he gets us exclusive interviews with some of the big newsmakers in sports, too. That's very good.
Hi, folks. Dave Magnum. Along with my two sons, Reed and Ty, we had the privilege of WRJN being part of our group from 2014 to 2023. We were able to add two FM signals, 98.1 Kenosha and 99.9 Racine. Also, during our ownership period, we invested in reinforcing the infrastructure of the famous office and studio building, and we're delighted that Sage Wiles Civic Media has taken the technical facility to the next level. Happy 99th anniversary to one of America's truly heritage radio stations. WRJN.
We are celebrating 99 years on the air today. 99 years. Next year's our 100th. We'll talk about that later on. Deb Thogerson is here, host of Party Line for How many years were you?
12 years.
12 years mm-hmm. doing Party Line. And you were so polite to people, you know, when they were correcting you. Well, I can't get this to work. Well, maybe you're doing it incorrectly. I would just get off my radio station. If you don't like it, go to Google.
No.
Debbie, tell the story about the infamous rain on the roof. We had a lot of rain one morning, and we were having roofing done at the time, and it apparently was not as secure as it should have been, and water came into the building. Don has video of this, but you were affected by this tremendously because you didn't have any phones.
Yes. It seems to me that whenever you punched one of the lines to talk to someone, you couldn't get rid of it. So we only had two lines. And it was a tough situation. I mean, in this whole building, it was bad. But trying to be on the air when your program depends on callers, yeah, it was.
Well, what happened was the roofer, who was putting a new roof on this building, mm-hmm. ended early for the day before, put on a tarp, mm-hmm. and we had a big storm. And it blew the tarp off. And, of course, the water came right into the building.
Right. It was a flat roof.
And people can't understand. If I describe it, it was raining in the building. And there were three rooms that weren't affected. The studios.
Yeah. We were lucky that day.
And it was just flooded. All the computers got flooded. Everything got flooded. And our owner was in Dallas, Texas, I think, at the National Association of Broadcasters. And we said to him, it got wet in here.
It was little.
There was an inch of water raining in the main mm-hmm. office there, and
everything covered in plastic. Yeah.
So the roofer came in and he took one look, and I got a picture. I got a video of him with that look on his face, like my life is over.
Yeah.
And due to that video, we had the insurance company paid right off.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
Deb, when that happens and you can't take calls, did you have to come up with ideas to fill the time? And what did you do? Did you have to think, yesterday we had a call about a stain on the carpet? Or what did you do?
You have to buy a lot of time.
Yeah. Did you just kind of rehash other people's calls or questions? Or did you just have enough stories in your head to fill for the next hour of Party Line?
Well, I always had to have a stack of film material.
Mm-hmm. For you had a card catalog here. Yeah. We had to wheel this card catalog out every day because there were no Google or computers at the time.
Right.
And you did everything off of cards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you, can you remember any weird calls people got? Like, I can't get the blood stains out of my carpet, you know.
We always had the typical around the holidays, you know, candle wax on the tablecloth. Mm. We had and stains on the carpet. Someone spilled wine on the carpet. How do I get that off? Those are classics.
And do you still have dreams about those? Like you can't find the card in the file? I don't know. You're stuck with candle wax.
Yeah.
I still have nightmares about records ending and I'm not in the room.
Yeah. Right, right. Well, I do too. Occasionally, I have nightmares where there are no calls. There are no commercials. Or there's, you know, and I have to keep talking.
Yeah.
But I think one of the problems with all of us in radio, and I know, Don, you and I have talked about this, is anytime you're with people, you can't have dead air. So it's something that's ingrained in us, so we want to keep talking. We can't have space. Remember, Don, we've talked this over.
Yeah, every time something doesn't work, well, I got to keep babbling until we can fix it. And you're babbling trying to fix stuff here, and it happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. And in looking back over the years, I probably should have turned the mic off and just gone home instead of babbling for 40 minutes about nothing, because it would have been more entertaining to the audience.
Well, luckily here we have a staff of engineers who get things fixed right away. We wake them up at 5:30 in the morning, and they're great at it.
Yeah.
Let's get to our next cut here.
This is a 1998 clip of Kurt Vollmann, Tom Mountain, and myself. And we were just after the news, and we're talking about dogs.
Dogs, when you want to play, they want to play. When you want to be alone, they want to play.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I guess that's true.
I love playing with my dog.
They will love you forever if you rub their tummies.
Mine likes her butt scratched.
Well, they do.
I've just got this picture in my mind that,
that's what dogs do because they can't reach there. Try that. Any friendly dog you know, just do it, and, you know, you've got a friend for life.
Try that with any friendly dog you know.
Don't try it with, you know, one you don't like or doesn't like you. I'm talking from experience here. Why is this so funny?
Oh, gosh. Try it with any friendly dog you know? I don't think so.
Would you? Never mind.
I think we should just end this right here. That's a good place to end that.
Curtin and I had a lot of fun. There was one morning when he did Marine-style push-ups on the air. Tom Mountain counted them off. We have audio of that. So let's talk about the fact that next year is going to be 100. We're just getting into 99. Next year, the planning is going to be starting for the 100th anniversary. Chris will be talking about that in a second. But I wanted to bring this up. That I mentioned earlier, the Victory Avenue complex is built in 56, 57, and it's designed by famed local architect Hans Geyer. This is his only radio station, according to announcer Norb Dreyer. Norb worked here four different times between the 50s and 2000s. So, the front lobby, the front of the building was all glass, okay? Then you came in, and then that's the office area, the main office. To keep the office area climate controlled, if you will, they had gigantic sliding, heavy sliding glass doors, floor to ceiling on a track, and it was on an angle, okay? So you could close the sliding doors, and it would be comfortable in there. So Norb Dreyer told me this story about just one day that the movement of the sliding glass doors affected what was going on in this studio.
Well, at that time when we used the old 78 RPM records, Joe Cooper, I remember, was on the board, and he was sitting there, and we had a record program on the air. It wasn't mine. I wasn't working that at that time. And all of a sudden, the pickup went skittering right across the record, and it made a terrible noise. Good heavens, what was that? And that happened a few more times, and then they found out that every time somebody would move one of those glass panels, the vibration would come through the floor and just louse up the broadcast.
And you can still see where they are on the wall.
Yep.
You can see there's a little little marker there.
Which is, this whole thing is astounding because the floors are solid concrete.
Yeah.
And for that to happen, it's just weird.
Well, for our 100th, Jan, Tom, and I went to the Racine Historical Society, and we had a little confab with them. And they said, yes, we can do an exhibit for our 100th anniversary. So they already gave us the go-ahead for it. Now this year we're going to plan out what we're going to do because Tom's got all the stuff. So don't tick him off or anything because he won't give them to us. So we're gonna get that stuff, set up an exhibit for our 100th anniversary. And should be nice. And we're going to plan some other stuff for the 100th anniversary.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to work with longtime customers and clients. I think we will invite listeners into the building. I mean, it's a historic plant here. It's a beautiful place that, you know, we figured out, or we shouldn't figure out, we found out a few weeks ago when our tower light burnt out, got hit by lightning, that the tower light doesn't work. I don't know how many calls we got from people who were telling, your tower light's out, when's it coming back?
Channel 4
did a story on it. So, I mean, people depend not only on the tower light to find their way home after a night of party, but they depend on the station. So we're going to invite people in. Hopefully Tom and Jan can put together some displays in here to go with the museum and make it a big deal. 100 years is something that most stations, especially AM stations,
yeah,
in industrial towns, simply don't get to. So we're going to be one of a handful across the country to get to that centennial mark, and we're going to make it a big deal and really thank Racine for doing it, for keeping us here.
A couple of final thoughts. Jan Hoff.
Oh, you put me on the spot here. And it is pretty amazing for a place to go 100 years. I worked at three different radio stations. One of them comes close, and the other one, when I put it on the air in 1976 in a small industrial town, and it's hardly, you know, anything anymore. So yeah, it's quite the milestone.
Yeah.
It was wonderful to be here. Really, it was. I think I was here during a wonderful time. Frenchy Bouton, Bob Cook, Tom, you were here, Bill Gum, so many people that were legendary, actually. I was really thrilled to be able to have worked with them.
And Chris?
Same as Deb. I got here, I was all of 16, and Frenchy Bouton was one of the guys, you know, you look up to as a local listener. But Bob Cook, Jim Sorensen, Dave Armstrong, the guy who did Nights and eventually moved up to Stevens Point, Don Edmark and Gary Sewer, I mean, all people who influenced me. And to come back 50 years later to actually get to kind of take the helm, for me, it's been a full circle deal. So I simply love being here.
Tom.
I just want to do a shout out to Civic Media for re-energizing this historic broadcast outlet. It's going great, and it sounds good, and great kudos to the company and to Chris for making it sound like it's Racine's radio station again.
And thank you for putting this together.
Yeah.
Great you do job. A great job on it. It takes a lot of work to find this stuff and get it to me, and I do appreciate it. Very appreciative. Okay. Mm-hmm. We want to mention some of the people we lost this last year or so. Carrie Sewer, our legendary news director, passed away not too long ago. And one of my favorite people here, Ron Richards, who's been here for, he was here over 20 years.
Yeah.
And we miss Ron and all the people. I went over the list over the phone with you of all these people that have gone.
Scott also, Lou Turner.
Yeah. Oh, Lou Turner. Tom Kramer. Scott Bozak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of good people. Yeah. We're going to end the program today on our 99th anniversary. And by the way, before we end it here, I want to remind everybody, we have done interviews as part of our Historical Marker series, and they're all podcasts. Wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, WRJN.com, CivicMedia.us, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, you can look them up. They're all there. And you'll hear interviews with people that worked here over the years. And we're going to put this on a podcast, too, so you can hear it as well. Deb, Chris, Tom, Jan, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Let's wrap it up with our current owner of the radio station.
Hello, everyone. My name is Sage Weil. I'm the founder and CEO of Civic Media. I'm the proud owner of WRJN here in Racine. Maybe, I don't know if I should say this, but I'm not sure we fully appreciated what we were getting when we bought WRJN a couple years ago, both in terms of the challenges that we would face and also the rich heritage and history of the station. But I'd just like to say that I'm incredibly proud of the work that Don Rosen and Chris Morrow and all the other folks have done in rebuilding the station into a state where it's truly serving the community with local news and information. And I'd just like to wish a happy beginning to our 99th year broadcast. Thank you, everyone.
WZTI Greenfield.